Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey there, everybody. It is Wednesday, June 8th, 2022. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast, where we're open to calling plays for the Patriots this year. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside Michael F. Florio, producer Randy at the controls, and because it is summer, you know, we always have a cavalcade of fantasy stars popping on the show, folks that maybe you're familiar with, maybe you're not. And if you're not, we're certainly glad to introduce you to them as well. So our guest today, if you have been deep in these fantasy streets, you have probably seen her in a whole lot of places. She writes with Fantasy Footballers. She's at Fantasy Pros, NBC Sports Edge, also at Mayo Media Net, our pal Pat Mayo, who has built his own little fiefdom up there in Canada. We are glad to be joined by the one and only stepmom, Lauren. Lauren, appreciate you jumping in with us today. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be an adventure because I just realized that there was a draft that I forgot about at the end of this. So this should be interesting.
The good news is, as she alluded to, we're going to do another fantasy draft of things because we did it last week with non-alcoholic beverages. And I will say that the response on social media took off in a huge way. So we're certainly all glad that you guys were certainly engaged and happy to talk about it. We're also sort of amused that most of what we got was a lot of people roasting Troy King about his picks. Although, you know, he got roasted for them, but it ended up being a pretty neck and neck battle the whole way. And Florio, your pick of water ended up being a lot stronger than you anticipated.
I thought I was going to get roasted for picking two kinds of teas and water. I thought everyone was going to be like, this guy is super boring. And instead, everyone was like, water, steal of the draft. You can't live without it. I was like, all right.
So that worked out. So hopefully we will do another fantasy draft of things at the end of this show. And hopefully it is just as engaging to those of you out there as last week's was. We got some stuff to talk about. Obviously, this is sort of the dead portion of the offseason. This is the closest thing I think we get to an actual offseason these next few weeks. So there are headlines. I usually call this the news section. I decided to call it the offseason chatter section because it's sort of people talking, but not necessarily saying a whole lot of things. And so as we tend to do here, because the content machine continues to grind and we all got bills to pay. We'll try to decipher what we can from what is being said by coaches and players around the league. So let's start in Baltimore, where Jeff Zrebiak, and if I'm mispronouncing that, I totally apologize. But from The Athletic, the Baltimore beat writer down there was talking about how he thinks the Ravens are going to go a lot more run heavy this year, kind of reverting back to what they were in 2019 when they went 14-2, had a great season, but really were built around running the football and playing defense. The last couple years, they've tried to get to more of a balanced offense with sort of mixed results. So, Lauren, I'll start with you. I mean, if this is what the Ravens really want to do, if they want to run the football, what does this mean for a guy like J.K. Dobbins, who we had big expectations for last year? Unfortunately, he got hurt in the preseason, missed the entire year, but he's expected to be back and healthy again. If the Ravens really do want to get back to running the football a lot more, does this mean we should move him up our draft boards a little bit?
I think so. But I don't think J.K. Dobbins really is going to be one of those players that falls too far. I think he's going to be a steal if people do let him fall too far, which is going to be nice. But I want to put air quotes around reverting back to the run game, because that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's not like they were, you know, Patrick Mahomes-ing everything. No, they were third. They had the third most attempts in the league in rush attempts. That's not exactly like a big swing in the opposite direction. I think they were like ninth most in passing or something too. Yeah, let's see. Ninth in passing last season. So, I mean, yeah, I guess you want to call that balanced, I suppose. But, I mean, Lamar Jackson, yes, he has a nice arm, but he's known for his legs. He's known for his juke moves. He's known to be able to do these things. And this is, again, air quotes, that like reverting back to, no, it's just strengthening what you guys are already really good at. So, no, I'm not concerned about J.K. Dobbins. I think he should be... not disrespected, if anyone is giving him disrespected. But if you want to forget about him, everyone in every league I'm in, he sucks. Don't
see, that's don't the, do it. That's the key, is to talk him down to the people that
subterfuge.
Are, that
I am
again.
All about it.
You know, try to tank a guy's value so that you can get him at a better spot in the draft. I mean, Florio, we looked at this backfield in the past, and when everybody was healthy, when it was whoever it was, if it was Dobbins, if it was Gus Edwards, if it was, you know, take your pick. It always seemed like it was kind of a one-third split between, you know, the two running backs and then obviously Lamar Jackson taking a lot of those opportunities. I mean, is that back in play again? And is that something we keep in mind if you're thinking about drafting a Ravens running back?
To me, it is. I really like J.K. Dobbins, like his talent as an individual running back. And I see the path for him being an RB1 similar to what Mark Ingram did in Lamar Jackson's MVP year, and that score a bunch of touchdowns, because I, at the very least, I have past game concerns with him. Like, they did bring in Mike Davis immediately after he got cut. We know that he can be used in the passing game. They drafted Tyler Batty. He is also a pass game specialist. So if J.K. Dobbins' usage in the passing game is limited, that I think that limits his upside. So I like J.K. Dobbins. But I do have concerns about what his role in this offense is going to be exactly, especially because they like Gus Bus, but he's someone who is kind of fringy. They could potentially get away from that contract if they want to. So I still think we got to monitor this situation pretty closely. I like Dobbins as an RB2. I think his upside is more of a low-end RB1. But I agree with Lauren. If people are, you know, saying like, oh, we have concerns about him and he starts sliding a bit, then I'll be in. But if we see the opposite and people start saying, remember how good this guy is in this offense that's going to run so much, and he starts getting pulled up, then I'll probably be out.
I'm waiting for J.K. Dobbins Day on fantasy Twitter, because you know how
it's coming,
right? It's coming, because by the time we get through the end of the summer, we get to training camp and preseason games, like pretty much every notable skill position player is going to have a day where they're the main character, right? Like, it's going to happen. So J.K. Dobbins Day is coming. A couple things I will say that at least are worth keeping in mind is that he is still sort of rehabbing back. And I know that reports are the Ravens are going to take it slow, that he's sort of been working away from the team and everything's fine. Apparently Baltimore's pretty happy with what they're hearing, the progress he's making, but he has not necessarily been working out with the team a lot. So he's still working his way back. Gus Edwards is also still working his way back. The other part of it, you kind of touched on this, Florio, is, you know, what his role in the passing game is going to be. And we always hear every year, we want to throw the football more. We're going to get our backs involved in the passing game. And then Lauren, as you alluded to, things kind of stay the same way they were, and they're still the Baltimore Ravens, and they're still a run-first offense. That being said, Lauren, Rashad Bateman was kind of everybody's favorite rookie darling last year, and look, I know for you, because you and I were on with Jake Seeley not all that long ago, and you mentioned that you're not necessarily big on rookie receivers. He's not a rookie anymore, Lauren. This is year two for Rashad Bateman. They say they want to run the football more. So are you still maybe not so excited about drafting him this year?
Ooh, okay. So Rashad Bateman to me is like listening to someone describe some kind of exotic cuisine, right? And you're like, I'm really not quite sure about that. And then you pass by it and this aroma wafts to you. And then suddenly it picks you up by your nostrils and you float right back to said cuisine. That is Rashad Bateman to me. I am very excited about him this season. Now, I'm not rushing out to, you know, elevate him in my draft boards. He's just one of those receivers I'm going to have my eye on in the draft. Targeting, possibly, but I'm going to see where he goes. If he falls far enough, I'm going to be very happy to scoop him up in the later rounds. Because again, ergo everyone does, obviously, associate the Ravens with the run game. So I wonder, aside from Mark Andrews, how much of those receivers, the pass catchers, are going to be falling a little bit further down the rank. So I am excited about this. Plus, he really did flash very, very well. There were some games where he showed he can get it done. I like this. And I especially like this because of the lack of Marquise Hollywood Brown. Now, when I did some research on this, which there will be a piece coming out, it's the impacts of the offseason changes on tight ends that you'll be able to read on NBCSportsEdge.com. Ding! See, I got my ding in this time. I was able to do it this time, Marcus. It's not just you. I was able to do it. And you can read about the quarterback, running backs, and wide receivers on the same platform as well. But I was really surprised that Hollywood Brown actually had 146 targets. Now, for some reason, when I think back without looking at the numbers, I didn't expect it to be that high. And then obviously with Mark Andrews, he was at 153, I believe. So that one didn't surprise me. But that vacates 146 targets. Where are those going to go? Because considering they were third highest in the league in rush attempts, there were still targets to go around. So I do like this. I think Rashad Bateman is going to be more involved. It is his second season. He has proven to me that he passes the smell test. See what I did there? Brought it back to the delicious cuisine that, you know, caught the wafts of the aroma that I really like. So I am excited about what he's going to do. I'm not concerned. I'm not worried about it because he's not going to be someone that I am looking to draft anywhere early or even in the mid rounds. If he falls to me later, then yes, then I will be very excited about it. And he'll be one of those wide receiver three or flex plays that I put in and laugh at everyone that they decided to pass up on him.
That was all very astute, and I think there's a lot of merit to it. But the only thing I took away from it is that Rashad Bateman is basically a hot condition that you get on the streets of Manhattan at a cart.
Exactly. That's good. The thing. You will never be able to think of Bateman any other way other than he smells great. I don't know if he does.
Rashad Bateman smells great. I'm totally going to remember that.
Passes the smell test.
I'm totally going to remember that. is this how we're feeling? Is Bateman kind of – is he still – I guess a mid-round guy? Does he have that wide receiver one upside, or is he just, you know, are we capping him at, say, a wide receiver two?
I think his upside is a wide receiver two for now. Things would have to really break right, I think, for him to finish as a wide receiver one. It's funny. I did a best ball draft earlier this week, and I took him as my wide receiver three in like the seventh or eighth round. I felt good about getting him there, but he's someone that comes with, you know, fantasy Twitter loves to hype this guy up. He will be the main character one day and probably start to get his ADP pulled up a little bit. I feel similar to Lauren once again. Like, I like Bateman as a player. I like his talent. I think he's a really strong fit for Lamar Jackson. But I think it ultimately comes down to how much you think the Ravens are going to throw the ball, because I was also surprised to see Marquise Brown had 146 targets last year, because every year prior to that, he was averaging like around 7 targets per game. He's consistently like wide receiver 90 in routes ran because they just don't throw the ball a whole lot. And Marquise Brown was able to combat that by being a great downfield threat, someone who could pick up 40, 50 yards and you know, one catch. Bateman has the ability to be a downfield receiver, but he doesn't have the speed and the field stretching ability like a Marquise Brown does. So I think for him to get close to that wide receiver one value, he's either going to need around 150 targets. And I'm I, I just I don't feel confident projecting that for him.
I mean, Florio, you know, I always like to talk about talent versus opportunity here. And for me, Bateman was sort of one of those test cases. I actually wrote about it. I didn't include Bateman, but I did write about it for our pal Bob Harris and Emil Cadlick in the upcoming Football Diehards magazine out on newsstands soon. So you can go check that out, you know, whenever that's available. But Bateman was sort of one of those test cases where, you know, a lot of astute people who study wide receivers talked about how much they loved Bateman. They loved his ability. And I said, sure. He also goes to the run heaviest team in the league. So that's going to kind of cap what his opportunities are going to be from a fantasy standpoint. I'm sure he's very talented. I trust those people who study that sort of thing and I trust their opinions. But to me, it was a situation where the opportunity doesn't necessarily match up. And so I think that more than anything sort of puts a ceiling on potentially what he can be. But, you know, as Lauren mentioned, the fact that a lot of targets are now open because Marquise Brown is collecting mail in Arizona, you know, maybe that does help him a little bit. All right, let's shift our attention down to Dallas, where Ezekiel Elliott says he still feels he has, quote, something to prove. I get it. You know, the last couple of years, a lot of people have been throwing dirt on Zeke's name. He is not looking like the dominant back that we saw when he first came into the NFL out of Ohio State. And like last year, it wasn't, you didn't have to look very far on Twitter to see people saying that Tony Pollard maybe deserved a bigger role than he did in the Dallas offense. But you also go back and you look over the last few years, Zeke consistently still finishes among the top 10 running backs. And so that leads me to wonder, Lauren, are we overreacting to Zeke's production? I mean, it's not what it once was. It's not what you probably got if you drafted him, say, in the top five. But in the end, he still ends up as an RB1. Are we freaking out too much? Or is there really something there that we need to be concerned about?
This is the most annoying thing about like real football, which I don't care about at all. Like I only care about the fantasy aspect of it. So from a fantasy football perspective, this is very concerning. It's upsetting. But let me just elaborate as to why. It's because the Dallas Cowboys were actually very smart in how they utilized Ezekiel Elliott. There are so many running back injuries. Just ask the Ravens, speaking of Baltimore. I mean, it's a serious issue. So with an extra week and an extra game, it was important for the Cowboys and for other teams around the league to basically go by a running back by committee, if you will, to spread out those touches, spread out a little bit of the wear and tear that these players are undoubtedly seeing day in and day out at practice, especially during games. So incorporating more of Tony Pollard made sense from that really annoying real football standpoint. But it is upsetting for the fantasy world on this. But if you have this expectation going into it, I think what we need to do is we need to look at Ezekiel Elliott as not that workhorse guy who's going to be seeing pretty much every single snap. He's not going to be that guy. And if you have that perception of him, he's not going to be disappointing because you're going to know exactly what role that he's doing. Now, is that going to change this coming year as opposed to what we saw last year? Is there going to be a change? Is it going to be the same thing that we saw from Zeke? Then yes, you should be concerned if you're thinking you're going to draft him in the first round and he's going to turn out, you know, Derrick Henry type numbers. That's just not really possible, especially with what they've done that seemed to be successful with a player like Tony Pollard, who is very talented, very good and different from Ezekiel Elliott. So they can run different types of offenses. And with the loss of Amari Cooper, they're going to have to try to think of some interesting ways and some dynamic plays that they're going to need to do. And I guarantee you that is going to be involving Tony Pollard a little bit more. So there is concern, not so much to the fact of, oh my God, you know, he sucks. You know, he's never going to finish well ever again. Because as you said, he consistently does well, just doesn't meet those expectations that we have come to prescribe to him. We've come to expect a certain level of production. And when it's not met, we throw things in the air, break dishes. Maybe that's just me, but I mean, it happens.
Are you suggesting that fantasy managers can be irrational sometimes?
Because absolutely,
I've just never seen that. I've never ever seen that.
We are
ever.
Calm, cool, and collected all the time.
All right. I mean, so Flory, I mean, with all that being said, is Zeke? Where do you feel comfortable taking him? I mean, is he a guy that you would take, say, at the turn at the end of the first round? Is he later in the second? Where do you feel comfortable drafting him?
I'm not going to have Zeke on any teams this year, so probably nowhere. I would take him if he fell to the third round, which I don't think is going to happen.
Agreed.
look, when a running, like, I was out on Zeke last year until the echo chamber convinced me that, oh no, look what he did with Dak. And I was like, but even with Dak, his efficiency is down. He has no burst left whatsoever. Like, his last 20-yard run, I think, was like legitimately multiple seasons ago. Like, the guy just, he, so what he is a bigger name Josh Jacobs. Wow. Like, he is going to give you RB2 production for 17 weeks, but because he's not going to get hurt at the end of the year, he's going to be an RB1. He finished as the RB7 overall last year, and he finished a week as a top seven running back one time. Like, wow. You're consistently going to, he was the RB17 in points per game. Like, you're just going to keep getting RB2 weeks. And the thing is, like, I know we're saying, people are saying, oh, he's hurt. The year before was, oh, Dak was hurt. It's always an excuse with Zeke, but the efficiency continues to decline and has been for years. There's no burst, like I said. And now his touches per game is going down. And what used to keep him afloat was a high target total. Last year in 17 games, he had fewer targets than the year before, where he played only 15 games. Like, Tony Pollard is a legit concern that is eating into his passing game work. I think he, like Lauren said, I think he could take more carries away this year as well. And I also think Dak Prescott, being a year removed from that severe leg injury that he needed surgery for and stuff, we didn't see Dak run much last year. I think we could see Dak run even more, which may mean even fewer dump offs to the running back. So I can't get excited for Zeke. I was trying my best to be off of him last year. I will not get sucked back in this year.
Okay, then, so then, Lauren, right now, Tony Pollard's got a seventh round ADP. Is that about right? Should he be higher? Should we be more in on Tony Pollard right now?
No. I think that is right where he should be. It depending on where the narrative goes, you know, because we have nothing else to do. We just talk about all these random things that could happen. So depending on what narrative street decides to break, you know, branch off on whatever block that we're going to, is going to depend on where his ADP goes. But I don't think that we should necessarily be throwing too much more stock into it, unless you're in really deep leagues. Then he's kind of one of those characters that's a little bit more intriguing to me. But I'm just exactly the same thing as Florio just said. I'm out on Zeke, and if I'm gonna have a piece of that backfield, it's gonna be Tony Pollard. It's gonna be looking for a flex opportunity, a spot start. It's gonna be looking possibly even for a bench as a insurance plan. I'm not sold, and I don't think that we need to be, you know, hyping either one of these two up, because if anything, Zeke needs to reprove himself. Why am I air quoting everything? I don't know. For everyone just listening, I am literally air quoting almost everything that I do, but I think he needs to reprove himself to the team that they spent all this money on him. And to quote Mr. Jerry Jones, Zeke who? I mean, that's a situation. So I don't know. I'm out. I don't like it. Either one.
Yeah, I thought it was really awkward when you air quoted Ezekiel Elliott. That was just kind of weird. I didn't understand.
You look nice, Marcus.
Oh, no. So here's my thing with Tony Pollard. I think he has excelled in the role that they have put him in. And when I see people saying he deserves more touches, in fact, I've even seen people, maybe this is beyond the pale, but I've seen people come out and say, you know, maybe he should be taking over as the starter and the RB1 in Dallas from Ezekiel Elliott. And when I hear that or see that, my mind immediately flashes to what I'm going to now call the Lamar Miller conundrum, right? And I know it's a thing that, you know, our old consensual pal, Jake Seeley, has talked about too with Lamar Miller. All those years when we were all like, free Lamar Miller, he needs more touches, he needs more opportunity. He went to a place that gave him more touches, and we were like, oh, that's why he wasn't getting more touches. And I sort of wonder that about Tony Pollard. Is he a guy that is good in the role he's in and maybe isn't going to be as efficient if he gets more opportunities? Or, you know, maybe I'm wrong and I'm full of crap and he's a dude who really can step in and take over that RB1. I don't know, Florio, I don't know if you feel differently about it. I mean, is he who he is, or can he be something better?
I think he can be something better, but it's very real concerns because we've never seen it. We've seen one career game where he played without Ezekiel Elliott, and he went off for 31 fantasy points in it, but it's one game, you know, like you can't really bank a whole lot on one game. So I personally think that he can be an RB1 if anything was to happen to Zeke. In fact, I kind of comp him, not again skill-wise, but just the situation to what Kareem Hunt has been for a while for the Browns, where like he's a solid flex guy, have some good weeks, some bad weeks, but if anything was to happen to the starter, I think RB1 potential immediately at the worst, like high-end RB2. But if someone was like, I don't think he could hold up with that much workload, I can't really argue it because we haven't really seen it before. So while I think Tony Pollard could be fine, it's a lot easier when you're getting, you know, 12 carries and looking great and not being the guy that has to run between the tackles 20 times.
I mean, there is some, if you are a guy like Tony Pollard, there is a joy in everybody believing that you can do something and you not necessarily having to prove it, right? And not, you know, you can just let everybody say, yeah, man, I can totally be that dude. But you know, I mean, it's the Uncle Rico paradigm, right? Like if coach had put me in, we'd have won state. I can throw a football quarter mile, throw it clear over those mountains. Like Tony Pollard can sort of be the Uncle Rico. Like, hey, look, I can run for, you know, 1,500 yards this year, but it's just that, you know, coach is holding me back and we got Zeke there. So
he's got to be a free agent soon, right? Like he might get paid just off of the allure that he could be the guy.
Just the idea that there's something bigger and better out there for Tony Pollard, which
yeah, this is his final year with the Cowboys on his current contract.
And I would think there will be, you know, unless something goes terribly wrong this year, I'm sure there will be a lot of takers out there looking for a guy like Tony Pollard to add to their roster. In Pittsburgh, so they signed Mitch Trubisky. And for a minute, it looked like, all right, well, Trubes is going to be the starter. And then the Steelers go out and they draft Kenny Pickett. And, you know, right after that, because we all like shiny new things, everybody's like, well, Kenny Pickett's going to be the starter. They made him the first quarterback off the board. He's a Pittsburgh guy. He's staying in Pittsburgh. It's a great story. And now mini camps have opened and the reports are that Trubisky is the clear and declared number one QB in Pittsburgh. So it's a simple question for you, Lauren, in basic one quarterback fantasy leagues, is Mitch Trubisky draftable?
No.
All right.
I will preface for me, no. I am staying completely far away. Like you said, a one quarterback league. We're talking lots of other fish in the sea. Okay. I mean, I just ugh. However, there is an argument to be made where there could be potential. Now, guaranteed, Mitchell Trubisky is going to be on the waiver wire. So see how he does, see where he goes those first few weeks, because I have a feeling he might be using his legs a little bit more than people are giving him credit for being able to do. And in fantasy, especially if you're in the classic type of scoring, we know that rushing quarterbacks tend to amass a few more points than the average just pocket passer, again, depending on how it is that you score. So I think there could be potential for, you know, streaming him in an opportunity, but I'm not going to run out and be like, the next Justin Herbert, you know, like, no, let's not go there.
Mm-mm. I mean, Mike, I mean, you talk about the Uncle Rico paradigm, right? I mean, Trubisky threw a grand total of 8 passes last year, backing up Josh Allen. But for whatever reason, I mean, you remember it. We all remember it. At the end of last season, there was all this talk about how Trubisky was going to be a hot commodity on the free agent market. All these coaches, all these teams looked at him and said, we can fix him. We can make him better, right? We, you know, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. And he, you know, was kind of a wanted man. I don't even know where I'm going with this other than like,
I thought in my head is like, is he talking about a cyborg? Like,
kind
what
of,
technology
maybe,
are they fixing it with? Is
maybe
he okay?
A little bit, right? But there's this belief that suddenly Mitch Trubisky maybe is better than what we saw all those years in Chicago. Obviously, he was never going to be a starter in Buffalo. I mean, as long as Josh Allen was healthy, we knew that was never going to be the case. Is there something we're missing? Or is there a world you can imagine where he ends up being kind of a waiver wire darling in an offense that, I mean, let's be honest, they do have weapons. There are pass catchers there. There are playmakers there. Can you dream a world where Mitch Trubisky maybe is not drafted, but somebody snags him off the waiver wire in week 2 and ends up with a pretty solid streaming quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. And it's exactly what Lauren said. Like Mitch Trubisky can run. He is a mobile quarterback. We've seen him have really good fantasy days because of what he can do with his legs. And I think we're all holding out hope that he can be better in an offensive system that, let's face it, Matt Nagy was a failed experiment. So I think the expectation was if he goes somewhere else, he could be better. All that being said, Marcus, when you opened up this question, you were like, people on fantasy Twitter are like, Kenny Pickett's the starter. I am firmly in that camp. Like, Kenny Pickett is a 24-year-old, fifth-year starter out of Pittsburgh. The one big thing about Kenny Pickett coming out was he's by far the most ready NFL quarterback. And then you look at the situation. He's 24. There's one starter on the offensive side of the ball that is older than 25 years old. And there's one starter on the offensive side of the ball that is due to have a contract expire in the next year. And that is Deontay Johnson, who I expect them to lock up. So I think there's a lot to be said for having continuity and letting this offense kind of grow organically together. And if to take it even a step further, while we all like hyped up Mitch Trubisky, the NFL a lot of the time tells on itself. And what his contract told us is he's viewed as a backup. 2 years, $14 million. That's less than Tyrod Taylor got, I believe. So like, while he got some hype from us, the NFL didn't really give him that kind of money that was like, you're going to be the starter. So I still am in the camp that Pickett is the week one starter. And if not, I think within the first month, we see him take over.
All right, Lauren, if you are drafting a Steelers wide receiver, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, whomever it may be, do you want Trubisky or do you want Pickett at quarterback?
Oh, I do have a thing with hands. I'm totally kidding. honestly, I'm not really sure it's going to matter because the wide receiver that I'm going after is going to be Deontay Johnson. And he has proven to me that he can get it done with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges. So I don't really care who's throwing the ball. My husky, pomsky, whatever. What's your breed? Who are you? She can do a good job and it'll be fine. So yeah, I'm going after Deontay Johnson. I'm not really that concerned about who is going to be under center for that particular player that I'm going for. Other than that, I think I'm going to stay away from the likes of Chase Claypool. Freiermuth is interesting. Late. I mean, I'm not really, you know, jumping on that one, but that one receiver I want, that is definitely Deontay Johnson, and I don't care who's throwing him the ball.
Fun fact, if you go to Mitch Trubisky's page on Pro Football Reference, they list his MVP award. His Nickelodeon valuable player. It's listed there right next to his one Pro Bowl appearance. So Pro Football Reference making sure that he gets all of his flowers right now for that game he had with the Bears. All right. I want to do a quick little round of either or, whatever, however you pronounce it. Where I looked at a couple of teammates that have varying ADPs and sort of get your opinion on which one of these two players you'd rather have at that ADP. So let's start in Denver with everybody's favorite running back, Javonte Williams, who right now has a late round one ADP. I feel like maybe it still hasn't adjusted based on Melvin Gordon coming back to the Broncos because Javonte's at round one, Melvin Gordon's in round eight. So Florio, I will start with you. At their current ADPs, which one of these guys would you rather have?
Melvin Gordon, and it's not even close. Like Marcus, I love Javonte Williams. I thought like he should have been a first round pick if Melvin Gordon was gone. I thought he has the RB1 upside, and I still think he does, but it would involve something happening to Melvin Gordon. Like they brought him back because he's a really popular player there. They were other people like they wanted him back there, and I don't think we're going to see nearly as many RB touches as we did last year. I mean, each of these guys had over 200 carries, and they were both heavily used in the passing game. I think we're just with Russell Wilson, we're going to see more passing there and a lot less throwing to the running backs. He's not Teddy Bridgewater. It's just they're very different style of quarterbacks. But we did see Melvin Gordon last year was the back that got the more usage in the red zone and near the goal line. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see a similar approach to how we did last year. I know it's a new coaching staff. And by the way, Nathaniel Hackett has a long history of using multiple running backs. That's why we hated Jamal Williams all those years when we wanted Aaron Jones set free. But I wouldn't be surprised because both of these guys are so talented. If it was just like one series Javonte, one series Melvin. So instead of drafting Javonte at his ceiling, I'll take the 7-round discount there.
Yeah, I agree. Lauren, how do you feel about that one?
Oh, exactly the same. If you want to talk about a running back by committee that has an almost perfect 50-50 split, it's those two. And it doesn't matter how many times they touch the ball or not touch the ball, it's still probably going to be the same. So I'm not going to waste a first-round draft pick on a guy who's going to have similar, if not the exact same production, on a guy that I can get in the 8th round.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. I feel like the ADP is going to come down on Javonte Williams. Yeah. It hasn't hit yet. So
it's kind of like this one. It's like this one teammate of mine when he was telling me to select my keepers, and he was really surprised that I wanted to keep Christian McCaffrey and Cooper Kupp because he's like, "What about Javonte Williams?" I was like, "Well, Melvin Gordon's back," and he's like, "So it doesn't matter. He's still the better." Stop it. No. No.
Why is someone trying to convince you who to keep?
I have no idea. I don't. I'm like, you know, I do this for a living, right? Like, yeah, but Pumpkin, you should do it. Be quiet. Go away.
Talent versus opportunity. I'm telling you, Javonte Williams really talented, but as long as Melvin Gordon is there, the opportunity is not going to be what we want it to be. So, all right. So Gordon in a clean sweep here. All right. Next one. I'll start with you, Lauren. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who has been a perennial fantasy disappointment in round four. Or Ronald Jones, who is maybe one of the most argued about players on fantasy Twitter, in round nine. Where are you going?
This is such a situational question, but I'm going to go ahead and stick with CEH here. And I'd want nothing to do with Ronald Jones. But let's just leave it at that. Lesser of two not fun running backs that I would want to deal with. So I'm going to take Clyde Edwards-Helaire and hope that I have some pretty solid roster construction ideas that I'm going to have to work around in order to take him. But I mean, there's another situation to this too, is I think the offense is going to really, really need to rely on him. So I think we're going to see a different type of Clyde Edwards-Helaire than we've seen before, hopefully if he can stay healthy. So I'm not as down on him as a lot of people have been, because I never had him on my fantasy team yet. So I'm not,
you know, you have not been personally personally disappointed by Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I have not been mortally wounded by CEH. So I'm like, I'm fresh, I'm green, I'll try, you know, like I tried sushi once, loved it. So who knows? Maybe this will be the time. Who knows?
All right. So is he sort of like another street food that you see? Like, oh, you know, I'll give that a shot. We'll see.
Can you tell him hungry? It's lunch time here.
He's like a halal car.
Halal, yeah.
Like a halal.
Yeah, highly recommend.
All right, there it is.
I'm starving. Florio,
which end of this are you taking?
So at that cost, I slightly lean Ronald Jones, but like I got CEH in a best ball draft this week as my RB3 in the seventh round. And I'm like, at that price, I will take him all day, because we always saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire as the early down back and Darrell Williams kind of spelling him. I think Ronald Jones is going to take more of those low value touches away, like those between the 20 carries. And then I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be more used in the passing game, which is what we've wanted for him since he's came to the Chiefs. So if that's the case, we may potentially get the best year we've had yet out of CEH, and he's going cheaper than ever.
All right. This may be my homerism showing, but I'm going to go Rojo. I can't quite quit him no matter what. Like I always, I will admit this. I always find some excuse for why Ronald Jones maybe didn't live fully up to expectations. I mean, we go back to 2020. He was pretty good, right? He had 1,100 total yards. He had 8 total touchdowns, was still splitting time. And then the next year he sort of disappeared again. For whatever reason, he and Bruce Arians just didn't get along. They didn't see eye to eye. And I feel like that sort of held him back. Maybe now he goes to a new place. There's a new coaching staff. Maybe he gets himself in better there a little bit. I still think he's really talented. I think he and CEH are going to split opportunities. But I just think that at the cost, I'm willing to go with Rojo. I'm willing to give him one more shot, right? I'm not willing to give up. I'm not willing to let go of the rope yet on Ronald Jones. Although, I mean, if Edwards-Helaire is hanging out there in the seventh round, then That feels too hard to pass up. But if we're talking round four versus round nine, I'm willing to throw my chips back in with Ronald Jones at least one more year. I'll live to regret it probably. But that's where I am. I'm planting my flag and I'm sticking with it right now. All right, let's go wide receivers here. The Miami Dolphins, and I had a chance to sit in on Move the Sticks yesterday and talk with Bucky Brooks, and we were talking about the Dolphins a little bit. I mentioned then that it feels like Dolphins social media is going out of its way to prove to us that Tua Tagovailoa can throw a good deep ball and that he and Tyreek Hill are connecting, right? Ever since that first one, Florio, where it was underthrown and they got roasted by the entire internet for it, they seem to really be trying hard to prove to us that Tua can get it down the field. That being said, he's got a couple of speedsters in his passing game. Tyreek Hill in round two, Jalen Waddle in round four. Lauren, which of these two would you rather have at that cost?
First of all, I hate you for this question. I hate you because this is nearly impossible. It's like choosing between your two children, like which one is your favorite? Although we all have one. Okay.
Everybody's got one, right?
Everybody's got one. Okay.
That's why I only have, that's why I only have one kid. That way I don't have to.
No, that's perfect. So for me, oh, this is so hard, but I think I'm going to go with Jalen Waddle. And the reason I'm hemming and hawing about this, because I'm going to make this a situational thing again, and I'm sorry to make it so not cut and dry for everybody, but for me, it's going to depend on where I'm drafting in the draft in the first place, who I already have set up as my solid running backs. Am I going to go running back heavy? Who do I need to get? I don't know if I want to waste a second round draft pick on Tyreek Hill when there are so many mouths to feed in that offense. I'd rather wait until the fourth to get Jalen Waddle, who already has chemistry built up with Tua Tagovailoa that I don't really need to worry about, who played great last year and totally destroyed all of my arguments about why I don't like young receivers. But it's fine. You know what? We'll just leave that. I don't care. I like him. Plus his, you know, touchdown dance is epic. So, yeah. It's tough. It's really, really, really tough, though. I don't know if either of these is a wrong answer.
Let me just tell you that as a host and as the person who puts together this rundown, when I ask someone a question and they go with the, that makes me feel like I did my job, right?
Good.
Like, you know, like when I ask a question, they're like, it's so-and-so, and it's not even close. I'm like, well, what am I doing here? You know? Like, so when, like, people are...
I feel like that was just a jab over here on Florio. Melvin Gordon. It's Melvin Gordon. It's not even close. Next, moving on.
Yeah, I do this all the time. It's fine. You know, whatever. All right. So, Florio, I pose the same question to you: Tyreek or Jalen Waddle?
I would go with Tyreek of the two because
and it's not even close.
No. It's really close, actually. I Waddle last year was a little bit dependent on all of his catches, and I'm not sure he can get that total again with Tyreek now in the fray, but. Truth be told, I'm fading both of them. Like, I love each of their individual talents, but I looked back at teams last year that were able to support two wide receiver twos in the same offense, and basically you easily need to be a top 10 offense, but you pretty much need to have a top 5 scoring offense and be top 5 in, like, touchdown percentage. And I just don't think this offense is going to be able to sustain two high-powered receivers. And if it is, I'll gladly be wrong because you're not getting I don't feel like you're getting much of a discount on either of them. So my approach with the Miami Dolphins has kind of been leave the receivers because there's also like Mike Gesicki there. We know they're going to run the ball a good amount if Mike McDaniel is anything like the 49ers have been in years past. I'll take the shot on Tua though because I could get Tua as my QB2 in like the 13th round. And then if these two guys live up to expectations, you know who's going to be really good for fantasy? Tua. And if those guys aren't good, I could easily just cut Tua, whereas if I invested a second or a fourth round pick, I'm going to start these guys all year and never want to move them and hate myself for it.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off of that really quick if I can, Marcus.
Yeah, sure.
I'm also in that same camp, Florio. I say fade both of them. And I'm going to agree that to 100%. I like him as well. But a sneaky one that I think you can get later is going to be Chase Edmonds. And I like what he can possibly do. First of all, they just went like Sam's Club shopping in bulk for running backs this offseason. Am I right? So, but he is different than all of them. And what's so interesting is he reminds me of a Deebo Samuel light, if you will. He's already a great pass catcher. He already is a running back, which is kind of exactly what happened to Deebo Samuel last year. So the only player aside from Tua that I'm very excited about for the Dolphins is going to be Chase Edmonds, because I really want to see what McDaniel's going to do with him. And if it's going to be that trickery and that fun sort of creative scheming that we've seen from the 49ers and from him in the run game. And if he's going to use basically a built-in pass catching running back already in Chase Edmonds, I'm excited about that one.
To play off of Lauren's example real quick, they went Costco shopping for all of their running backs, but they were like, listen, we're having company. We can't get caught. Like, we have to pay up for one meal. Chase Edmonds was that meal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And not only that, then they were like, well, okay, so we're already buying all these running backs. Now we need to update the patio furniture. We need a new area rug. It was crazy.
Wow. I always do have I have Mike McDaniels more of a Costco guy than a Sam's Club guy, but you know, that's neither here nor there. Also, the pivot to all this Tua love was a plot twist I did not see coming when I put this question together. For the record, I think I'd still go Tyreek Hill, even though it's more of an investment, just because of the investment the Dolphins made in him. And I think that, to me, signals that they really want to try to, you know, make him the centerpiece of their passing game. They're going to get him the football as much as possible. Look, Jalen Waddle is certainly a nice compliment, and he can be very successful as well. But I just think with everything the Dolphins put in to acquiring and retaining Tyreek Hill, I think that to me, signals that they are really going to try and force-feed him the football. All right, last one before we take a quick break. A.J. Brown in round 2, Devontae Smith in round 6. Florio, I will start with you.
I will go A.J. Brown there. I mean, they traded for him and within minutes made him a massive contract, gave him a massive contract extension. So I think they clearly have big plans for him. I think Devonta Smith is more the complementary piece there. I think he'll stretch the field and help there. But I think we're going to see a lot of generated short throws to A.J. Brown and let him kind of do what he does after the catch. Debo's one of one, but the closest thing to him, in my opinion, is A.J. Brown. But Marcus, this is another situation where rather than the receivers, I'm cool taking neither of them and just getting Jalen Hurts, who I think could finish as the QB1 this year.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Jalen Hurts love out there without a doubt. I mean, Lauren, I think A.J. Brown said he thinks both of these guys are number one wide receivers. Which one would you rather have?
Honestly, I'm gonna go with Florio here. I'm on that A.J. Brown train. I've loved him for so long. First of all, his smile is the most contagious thing you've ever seen. Like, it lights up the universe. Like, if everyone looked that nice when they smiled, there would be no fighting. He just looks splendid, and that his skin is so perfect, it makes me upset. Speaking of really nice skin, Florio, I need to know what kind of you look airbrushed, okay? And it's not okay, because oh my god, I have such bad crow's feet, look at this line in my forehead, and you're all like, perfection.
No, so I have fine. Like wrinkles under this hat. I need to start doing skincare routines, because I don't do nearly enough. Like, I do hardly any.
Well, peek behind the curtain. When you have like a ring light, you know, that is shining on you, it tends to like wash everything out, right? Yeah,
that's what it is.
My husband, when he first came home from work, the first time I really started doing podcasts with, you know, professional camera and like nice light and stuff, he walked in the front door and was like, oh my God, what's all over your face? Because I literally look like a clown. I'm like super contoured, like lots of eye makeup. But when you see me on camera, it kind of looks like, did she just wake up? Like, that's, you know, that's kind of how it happens. But I need to know what camera you have, because you look flawless. The answer is A.J. Brown.
<That's me. laughs> I don't know. The camera. The answer is A.J. Brown. The answer is A.J. Brown for me too. I do like Devonta Smith, but again, sort of like with Tyreek Hill, right? The Eagles went out and acquired A.J. Brown. As you mentioned, Florida, they locked him up. He is the guy that they want, so he's the guy that I would take round 2, even over Devonta Smith in round 6. All right. That was beefy. Didn't expect this portion of the show to be so beefy. All right, we're gonna take a break, come back. We're gonna do the fun stuff now. We're gonna do a fantasy draft of things after the break on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs,
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around. Hey, tapping. Hey, stranger. I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know. But I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, "Look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot."
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So, what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
day.
So we're hanging out here with stepmom Lauren, and last week we did a fantasy draft of things with Troy King, redrafted non-alcoholic beverages, and it turned out to be a good time, and social media ran with it. So we're going to do it again, except this time, and don't ask me why I did it. There's no rhyme or reason to why I picked some of the things I do, but I figured let's do best animated movie. Oh, I know why I was. I was sort of having a hankering. I actually went to a movie recently, finally saw the new Doctor Strange movie, really Ooh. Enjoyed it, thought it was a lot of fun. And they show the trailer for Lightyear, which I think is going to be really interesting. You know, especially if you're a big Toy Story person, you get the Buzz Lightyear backstory. Also, Chris Evans gets to play another superhero. It's not fair, dude. You were the Human Torch. You were the Human Torch in the Fantastic Four movie. You've been Captain America in the whole MCU. Now you're playing Buzz Lightyear. Like, let somebody else do things, Chris.
Anyway, I have a question about the new Buzz Lightyear movie.
Yes.
Why does Buzz Lightyear look different if he's made of plastic and is a toy?
So I thought that too, but then I really thought, okay, oh, so it's based on like I don't know if he was an actual person, but like it's the legend of Buzz Lightyear, right? So he's like an actual character that, you know, the legend sort of starts with what happened in this movie, and then they make an action figure out of him. So that was
okay.
Sort of like
it's
how
an animated movie. Don't overthink it, Florida.
I saw the billboard driving the other day, and I was like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! That is not the Buzz Lightyear I know and love."
Yeah, no, it's sort of like how, like, you know, my Draymond Green bobblehead looks nothing like actual Draymond Green. Sort of.
Is he gonna get ejected from your house?
He really is. He basically starts the day with one technical. When I walk in the room, he's already got one T, and it's like, you know, as long as you don't act up, we'll be fine. So, all right. So anyway. We will do a four-round draft. We'll each pick four movies, and you know, as the guest, Lauren. So we'll go. Well, Lauren first because she is our guest here. Floria, you will go second, and I will go third. We'll keep that order. We won't snake. We'll just kind of keep that order the whole time. So, Lauren, the floor is yours. What is the 1.01 in your mind of animated movies?
See, in my mind, is not going to get me votes. So. I will incorporate those after I take this first pick that I think was so iconic. It's going to be remembered for forever. And this song gets stuck in people's heads. It probably still is. Animals react to it. Everybody loves it. For me, it's got to be Frozen.
Oh,
Frozen.
Wow.
It's Frozen. It's, yeah. I don't like that I just said it. It tastes kind of bad because I'm not really, I love animated movies. And I did like Frozen, but I feel like there's super low hanging fruit. Like I just took a cheap shot. I don't know, but I feel like it had to be picked 101. Like that is where it needs to be.
Okay. All right. So Frozen, the first movie off the board. So Florio, it's now to you.
This is when, like, you know, a team has something like a quarterback they want at two or whatever, and then he doesn't go at one. I really thought we just talked about it. I thought Toy Story was gonna go number one.
I didn't want to be obvious.
I'll take Toy Story. I grew up on Toy Story. I've seen, like, I'm the adult. I'm not embarrassed to say it. I'm the adult who has gone to see Toy Story 3 in theaters. I went to see Toy Story 4 in theaters. Like, Toy Story is my childhood, so I'm ecstatic to get it at two.
Yeah, wait. No, Toy Story. I was hoping it would fall, but I kind of knew better.
You grew up on Toy Story?
Yeah, when did Toy Story come out?
I don't want to talk to you anymore.
It was in the mid 90s, I believe, is when Toy Story came out.
I'm
old.
It came out in November of 22nd, 1995. I was their targeted audience.
Yeah, I remember seeing the first Toy Story in theaters. I was in college.
That's how old I am. But I do remember seeing it in theaters. In fact, fun story, side note, that the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood, which I think at the time it might still be, was owned by Disney. So they would show all the Disney movies. And then you pay a little extra and they would do a stage show like after the film. And so I remember my sister and I going to see Toy Story in the theater and then doing the stage show thing afterwards. Oh. They had, you know, people dressed up in costumes like Woody and Buzz and the whole thing. So, all right. So we got those two off the board.
Toy Story is older than producer Randy, we just found out.
Oh, no. Wow.
I literally just grew two more questions.
That just knocked the wind out of me.
Like, my arthritis just flared up. I mean,
oh man. All right. So I'm going to make my first round pick here. We got a couple of really good choices off the board. I'm going to go with one that also does have a couple of sequels, although they weren't as good as the first one. But I'm going to take Shrek as my first
Shrek
round
is
pick,
great,
which was solid. You know, I mean, you had Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy together. It even kind of kept Smash Mouth relevant for a few more years. Even like that was a big deal. So I will take Shrek into the first round. All right, so starting round two, Lauren.
Oh, we're not snaking this? Okay.
No, we're not going to snake it. We'll just go.
All right. So since we only have four, now I'm just terrified that no one is going to know my references except for Marcus, like, because my fun animated movies are, like, apparently prehistoric. So you know what? Let's go with that. I'm going to go The Land Before Time.
Ooh, wow. All right.
Old school, classic. Speaking of prehistoric, likely from the Jurassic era. Great time. Like me.
I feel like that's a movie that my sister had on VHS and like just kind of wore it out.
I mean, I could make this whole draft about like Disney movies, but I'm gonna veer off a little bit. I'm gonna go with The Land Before Time.
Right.
Great movie, sad movie, because obviously we know how it ends. So, you know,
things don't work out well for the dinosaurs.
Sure,
spoiler
don't.
Alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Well for them.
Wait, they don't?
shockingly, yes. All right, Florio, it's to you now.
So I went with the little strategy because I love Toy Story, but Toy Story is actually my second favorite animated movie of all time. It is the first movie I ever saw in theaters. I think that it rivals Toy Story. You just can't build a franchise around it. It's The Lion King. Like,
oh, you snake! I had to load it up.
Oh, The Lion King is so damn good.
My 101 was between Lion King and Frozen. Lion King and Frozen, but I was worried everyone was going to be like, no, that's, you know, not the, like, the new one, like the real life Lion King that they tried to do. You, anyway, that was a good pick is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, do you ever get more hyped than when Simba returns to fight Scar? I mean, come on.
I'm sorry,
Marcus.
I had that so locked up. I'm like, yeah, second round pick. This is going to be a great draft. All right, so now I got to go somewhere off the board. The good thing is I had another one loaded up, so now I'm just going to go. I'm not even going to say it to reach because I think this is one of the greatest. It is one of the greatest animated movies of all time. And in my mind, this is the greatest superhero movie ever made. So my second round pick, I'm taking Into the Spider-Verse.
I have to watch that.
You have to watch Into the Spider-Verse. You absolutely do. It is. I remember seeing it. I think I went to a late night showing. I think I had to work. And so I went to a midnight showing. And it was like me and maybe three other people in the theater. And I was blown. I stayed for the credits mostly anyway. But I sat and watched the credits because I couldn't move. Like, that movie was so amazing to me. And I say this as a Spider-Man nerd. Like, I've got, you know, multiple Spider-Man bobbleheads and Funko Pops here on my rack here. But Into the Spider-Verse is absolutely incredible.
Not to completely get us off topic, I'm about to watch all of the new Spider-Man movies. Where, like, in what order does this one fall in with the new ones, or is it separate?
The Spider-Man movie that just came out,
like the new three, the new trilogy. I haven't seen any of them.
So the Spider-Man No Way Home might be the best Marvel movie.
I love that movie. Loved it.
No Way Home is maybe the best one, but I will say that you kind of need to watch some of the earlier ones because they reference a lot of things from the original. Well, there are three trilogies. There are three Spider-Man trilogies, but
No Way Home is not going to make sense unless you've seen the other.
I've seen the other, like, okay. I've the Peter Park, the Tobey Maguire one, saw all of them in theaters. I saw, I forget the actor in the second one, but I haven't seen the new trilogy. So I was wondering where Into the Spider-Verse falls in.
Yeah, the Andrew Garfield ones too. Like you do have to see them in order to get the full impact of No Way Home. But No Way Home might be, it is on the list.
Really
it's in
good.
The conversation for best Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Agreed.
So, all right. So that gets us through two rounds. Round three, Lauren, it's back to you.
Okay. This is going to be when people really start to learn about who I am. Now, my choice here is going to be between two very similar type of animation, but I have to go with the one I think that really was, in my opinion, a little groundbreaking with how we saw animation, how we saw love stories, kind of a weird crossover between seasons, if you will. I'm going to go The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, that's a good call. That's
yeah, a little weird, right?
That is a strong, that's a strong entry. Anything from the Tim Burton universe is
solid. Was just different. It was beautiful, but it was creepy, but it was also like very touching, romantic. I don't know. It was fun. It was a very interesting movie.
I have no beef with that. All right, Florio, floor is yours.
I'm going to go with another one that I saw in theaters before. It's so iconic now. It's Finding Nemo. Like I feel like you can't see a clownfish or any of those fish without being like, that is Nemo. So, and it holds up. Like it still makes me laugh.
Plus, it also fits in the Pixar canon in the sense that like it starts with a really scary, incredibly sad moment. Like every Pixar movie is designed to either terrify and or depress you and then build you back up as you go through the rest of the story. So Finding Nemo definitely fits there. All right, so where am I going to go here for my third pick? I am going to go, geez, I have so many options of what I want to do here. I think I'm going to go old school. I'm going to go back deep in the Disney art. No, actually, no, I'm not. I'm gonna hold off. I might have just given away what my last pick is going to be. But you know what? I'm gonna say the Lego Movie, which was incredibly fun. It got to incorporate so many different other characters from different IPs. You know, Batman and all these other things. Plus, even now, I still sing Everything Is Awesome because that song
thing that popped in my head when you said it.
Lauren, you talked about songs that get stuck in your head with like Let It Go and what have you. Like Everything Is Awesome is one of the kings of earworms. So I'll take the Lego Movie in round three. So, all right. So that gets us to round four. And Lauren, you're on the clock.
It's our last round.
It's the last round.
We could do like 10 more.
I know.
We could go forever and ever and ever.
We could go forever and ever. Okay. All right. I'm going to do one that I guarantee neither of you have seen, but the select few people out there in the Twitterverse who will see this poll will know exactly what this movie is and why. I grew up basically a gamer nerd. I love video games. My favorite franchise is Final Fantasy. So my last pick is going to be Final Fantasy VII, Advent Children.
Oh, so now I haven't seen that Final Fantasy movie. I saw The Spirits Within, but I did not see Final Fantasy VII.
It is really good. Literally, I'm getting a blank stare from Florio right now.
I've played the games. I've never seen the movies.
Cloud and Tifa. Oh, come on.
Saw The Spirits Within, which was spectacularly mediocre.
Really?
But it was fine. There's nothing memorable about it. But all right, Final Fantasy VII. All right.
Children.
So all right, so Florio, your final pick on deck.
I need a judgment call from you guys because I don't know if this is fully an animated movie. I know most of it is, but does Space Jam, the original with Michael Jordan, count as animated?
I count that. Absolutely.
I would say so. I mean, that's mostly cartoon characters, right?
Then I had a backup in case, but I'll go with the original Space Jam there. I've watched that movie. I can't tell you how many times. Like as a kid, I would just put it on all the time.
So now have you seen so this is the 1996 version with Michael Jordan. Have you seen the LeBron version?
You know, it's funny. I have the LeBron Funko Pop from the movie. I'm a huge LeBron fan. I love Space Jam. I have not yet seen that one.
Okay. I haven't either. I was just kind of curious.
We're all just chiming in.
I just curious about what your thoughts were. So, all right. Okay. So, for me to round it out, this one is maybe one that people, I feel like if you are a Disney aficionado, you probably love this movie. And to me, this is maybe, I think it may be the best Disney animated movie.
If you pick the one, if you pick the one I was going to pick, I'm going to be upset.
It is certainly my favorite animated Disney movie. I'm going to go with Robin Hood from 1973. The Disney animated Robin Hood is absolutely incredible. I don't think it gets enough due within the Disney canon of films, but it is great. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure if you have Disney Plus, it's probably on Disney Plus. Go check it out. But 1973, the animated Robin Hood was phenomenal.
I literally should show you a picture of my notes, and that one's the very first one on the top. So I was thinking, I'm like, well, and I was trying to do, I don't know what I was thinking, and I should have, girl. But
so I was debating between that and The Jungle Book, because they're both very similar. They're both very good. They're both late 60s, early 70s. But Robin Hood has a special place in my heart. So
yeah, mine too. Every time we would go to the grocery store, back in the day, grocery stores had the video rental, the VHS mm-hmm. Tape rental, right there. Every week, my dad and I would go, and I would always rent that movie. And it was kind of part of our thing. I don't know why he never just bought it.
It's just more cost effective to just buy the movie.
I knew all the songs. I just loved every single part of it. Yeah, that was, I didn't think that you were going to take that one, Marcus. You have now reached a new level of esteem in my world.
Thanks. I appreciate that. So
you are welcome. Florio. No, I'm kidding.
All of mine are from a 7-year span, all of my movies.
This has been fun. And you branched out. You also, didn't go straight. I thought you were gonna go Disney all the way through, but then you made the left turn with
And then the weirdo over here is like, I like video games.
With Space Jam at the end.
I almost went all Disney because my fallback, if Space Jam didn't count, was Monsters Inc. So
All right. Which is a good fallback. So this has been a lot of fun. Lauren, appreciate it. For everybody who doesn't maybe know where to find your stuff, I know there's a lot of different places. So feel free. The floor is yours to tell people where you can be found.
So I haven't been able to update it yet, which I will be doing here in the next couple of days. But I put all of my work on my website, which is stepmomlauren.com. All my stuff is there. My work, my videos, my articles, all that kind of fun stuff. And then links to my social media. Come follow me. Come say hi. I'm most active on Twitter, stepmomlauren. Come say hi. I love chatting about fantasy football. Fantasy football, folks. Don't be weird.
Yeah, cool. Well, again, appreciate the time. Best of luck, continued success with everything you do. And I'm sure that the three of us at some point will cross paths again. Maybe in person at some point we will all cross paths too. That would be absolutely excellent. All right. In the meantime, for us, that'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Podcast. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good, live well. Please take care of yourselves and take care of everybody around you. We will talk to you next week.